Exodus chapter 35, I am reading various portions, and let's turn to Exodus 35, and we begin reading with verse 4. Exodus 35, verse 4. Moses spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, "This is the thing which the Lord has commanded, saying, take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as the Lord's contribution, gold, silver, and bronze, and purple, blue, purple, and scarlet material, fine linen, goat's hair, and ram skins dyed red, and porpoise skins, and acacia wood, and oil for lighting, and spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and setting stones for the ephod and for the breastpiece." Now I'm going to break into my reading, which I will continue in a few moments, but while you keep your finger there, turn back to Exodus chapter 25, and at the very outset of that chapter, this is what Moses had been instructed. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Tell the sons of Israel to raise a contribution for me from every man whose heart moves him. You shall raise my contribution." And almost word for word, alike to what we have just read, verse 3 goes on, "This is the contribution which you are to raise from them: gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet material, fine linen, goat hair, ram skins dyed red, porpoise skins, acacia wood, oil for lighting, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, onyx stones and setting stones for the ephod and for the breastpiece. Let them construct a sanctuary for me, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I am going to show you, as the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furniture, just so shall you construct it." Now back to chapter 35, and I pick it up with verse 20. "Then all the congregation of the sons of Israel departed from Moses' presence, everyone whose heart stirred him and everyone whose spirit moved him came and brought the Lord's contribution for the work of the tent of meeting and for all its service and for the holy garments. Then all whose hearts moved them, both men and women, came and brought brooches, earrings, signet rings, and bracelets, all articles of gold. So did every man who presented an offering of gold to the Lord. Every man who had in his possession blue and purple and scarlet material and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skins dyed red and porpoise skins brought them. Everyone who could make a contribution of silver and bronze brought the Lord's contribution, and every man who had in his possession acacia wood for any work of the service brought it. All the skilled women spun with their hands and brought what they had spun in blue and purple and scarlet material and in fine linen. All the women whose heart stirred with a skill spun the goat's hair. The rulers brought the onyx stones and the stones for setting the ephod and for the breastpiece, and the spice and the oil for the light, and for the anointing oil, and for the fragrant incense. The Israelites, all the men and women, whose heart moved them to bring material for the work, for all the work, which the Lord had commanded through Moses to be done, brought a freewill offering to the Lord." Now, one more reading, and we here jump to the beginning of chapter 36. "Now Bezalel and Aholiab and every skillful person in whom the Lord had put skill and understanding to know how to perform all the work in the construction of the sanctuary, shall perform in accordance with all that the Lord has commanded. Then Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every skillful person in whom the Lord had put skill, everyone whose heart stirred him to come to the work to perform it. They received from Moses all the contributions which the Lord, or which the sons of Israel had brought to perform the work in the construction of the sanctuary, and they still continued bringing to him freewill offerings every morning. And all the skillful men who were performing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work which he was performing. They had delegated it out, and each to a different particular area. And they said to Moses, "The people are bringing much more than enough for the construction work which the Lord commanded us to perform." So Moses issued a command, and a proclamation was circulated throughout the camp saying, "Let no man or woman any longer perform work for the contributions of the sanctuary." Thus the people were restrained from bringing any more, for the material they had was sufficient and more than enough for all the work to perform it. We have been pursuing a study on generosity and stewardship, and this, as I have mentioned to you, is a precursor and a bit of a trial run for a set of messages that I am to give in a few months, couple months' time, in India to a gathering of pastors there. You have been my guinea pigs to hear this and to help me work through this material, which I have already told you is a deeper study in generosity and stewardship than I have ever done before. We have gone to various places and considered scripture and the foundation, and here we come to what I essentially believe is the key objection to generosity. The key objection is, I would give more if I had more. Let's lay it out very plainly that giving is not a matter of what we have. We will never have enough if we start to say, "I would give more if I had more." A person who does not give when they are of small means, when they are of limited resources, if there is not that generous spirit within their heart, they will not give when they perhaps increase and that they are of greater ability. This came out to me very notably some years ago, and I always try to be very guarded. I know nothing about what people individually give. Of course, I know overall finances of a church, but I do not know. I have never made it my business to inquire what individuals give. However, there was one particular fundraising effort. We had little boxes, and people had made contributions. They had filled these with either coins or bills, and they had turned them in. And of course, then there was the large task of counting up an enormous pile of change. And if a receipt was requested, then there was that to be issued. And so there were numerous of us counting, rolling funds, and it was amazing that people who I sort of had in my head were people of somewhat greater means, their box, and oh, how keenly interested they were in having a receipt. Their box was filled with pennies and nickels and dimes at best. But then a dear brother who is now in glory, his box was desperately light, and I have to tell you that this brother was a man of incredibly limited abilities according to this world, and that's all that I'll say. But as we unscrewed the box and opened it up, it was stuffed not with any coins, but with tens and twenties, and it was that generous spirit that this brother of very humble means had put in there. Now, here is a shining example of what I am talking about. We come to Exodus, and we are dealing with people who are refugees, essentially. They have been driven, literally, out of their home in Egypt, such as it was, and such as their position in Egypt was. They were driven out by Pharaoh's command initially, and they come into the wilderness. And here God has the audacity, let's put it right like that. God has the audacity to say to them, okay, now I want you to pass the offering basket, and I want you to give of your very best that I might have a place where people would come to worship me and where sacrifice might be made. And God says, I'm not interested in tin, and I'm not interested in all of those lesser metals. I want you to bring your gold. I want you to bring silver. I want you to bring that which is truly an offering, which is worthy of who I am. Now, God had foreseen this. There was a build-up to this. Even on that 10th plague, which was there in Egypt, when the firstborn would be slain, any firstborn home where there was not the covering of blood, there was this word that was sent out to the people, that they were to have their sandals on, that they were to eat their meal in haste, they were to have their staff in hand, they were to be ready to go. And they were told, you shall ask your neighbors for articles to take with you. They were to despoil, they were to take goods from the Egyptians. And the Egyptians, in their haste to get these people out of the land, they said, yep, here, take it, you know, get on your way, anything that we can do to get rid of you because of what has come upon us in these 10 plagues. So God did not just drop a bombshell on them here, but he had prepared the way, and he had already poured into these people something out of which, you see, we get it all backwards and we get it all wrong if we think, oh yeah, here God, he's asking us, and you know, there's only lint in the bottom of our pockets. Let's say it straight. We love because he first loved us. We are contributors, we are donors, we are able to give because God has already poured into us. Though we might be drawn to the thinking of this world, oh man, I wish I had a newer car, I wish I had a bigger house, I wish I had a better paying job. We need to come back to what God has done rather than what we would have liked him to do, and to realize God has poured into us, and as a result, he asks us to be faithful in what he calls us to. So here we have the stage set, the people driven out of Egypt. They have not yet come into the promised land. That is all still literally years ahead of them, and they are wandering through the wilderness. They are unable to plant crops because of their movements. They do not have a foot of ground where they are. They are nomadic. They are essentially refugees. And here, right after the Ten Commandments of Exodus chapter 20, as Moses is meeting with God on Mount Sinai, he says to them, okay, now, one of the very first things you are to do is to build a dwelling where my name might be right in the middle of the camp. And you are to build the Ark of the Covenant that was not to be an idol. It was not to be worshipped, but it was to be a reminder of God's presence there in the very midst of the people of Israel. How is this going to happen, O great Moses? And God provides the answer. There was to be a offering. It wasn't going to be something that was a whole series of pledges or a fundraising program. It was something that was going to be one offering. Now, here in verse chapter 35, verse 5, it gives really the nub. It gives really the core of what it would be. And this is repeated several times, as you may have noticed. Take from among the contribution to the Lord whoever is of a willing heart. Whoever is of a willing heart. I have said it before, and let me make it mightily clear once again, should it have been forgotten, or should any of you be here and have not heard it before. I have come to the conclusion and come to the conviction that if people don't agree, or if they find what I have to say about giving and stewardship, if you find any of this repugnant, if you have any questions about what I am saying to you, absolutely do not give to any program or cause or that I am a part of. I have absolutely no interest in you bending your conviction or of compromising your convictions as to this. But let me say this. The giving that is biblical is not, first of all, to meet a need. It's not to pay for the light bill. It's not to pay for the water. It's not to pay for the bulletins. It's not to pay for even mission work. It is a matter which betrays and which gives evidence of what is taking place in our hearts. It wasn't, first of all, to be for the construction of that ark or the tabernacle, for all of the curtains and for all of the vestments for the priest. It wasn't for the outer court or for the altar of incense or all of those different things. It was first and foremost an indication to the people, as well as to leadership and beyond, what was going on in the heart. An illustration was made to me some while ago. We read where a man's heart is, or where a man's heart will be where his money is. Well, an illustration was made to me that if a man was to write a check, say that he had never had any interest in missions in any particular place, but let's say that the man was compelled through some means to write a check and say that the amount was $10,000 and that it was made out to missions, let's say in Pakistan, for lack of a better location. I assure you that after that check had been written and sent off, if that man opened the newspaper the very next day and saw something about Pakistan, I can assure you that amid all of the other news reports that were there, that his heart would be drawn to Pakistan and to what is going on there, because where his money had been placed, there was a draw and there was almost an irresistible urge to be interested in what was going on there. Well, this is what was to be done. There was to be this contribution that was raised, and it was to be something where the heart was stirred. It was not that there was to be a lash upon the back. How often that takes place is that people give just because they have been beat upon and because they have been ragged upon and because they have been cajoled and because they have been bullied. Not so. Not so. Moses said, you know what? This is what we're going to do, and this is what God has commanded. Now, there was no compulsion here, but they say, whoever is of a willing heart, let them bring all of these different things, all of these things that they might want to retain for themselves. And so this is what they do, and the people go and they scatter. And even as we read in the second part of Exodus 35, verse 22, then all those whose hearts moved them came and brought all of these things, an offering to the Lord. But amazing, in chapter 36, and this has been outlined as possibly one of the most remarkable chapters of the Bible. Some people doubt whether Jonah was ever swallowed by a great fish. Some people doubt whether the three Hebrew boys ever endured the furnace of Nebuchadnezzar. They say, oh, that's fanciful, that's crazy. Some people doubt whether Jesus ever turned water into wine, and they doubt whether he ever walked on the water of Galilee. Well, I think that those things pale in comparison with what here takes place in Exodus chapter 36. Have you never met someone who would give their very soul for the money that is in their pocket? Bezalel and Aholiab and the others who had been given the task of forming and fashioning there in the wilderness all of these different things. Remarkable skill that they would be able to do this under such circumstances. They gathered together and they started into the work, but there was a problem. And it was such a problem that they ceased from their work. Now, this was work that God had commanded them to do. It was of the first importance, but the problem was so great that they restrained themselves, and they come to Moses in verse 5, and they say, we have a real problem here. And maybe Moses' first thought was, well, what is it? Have you come to the end of your resources and you yet need more? They say, the people are bringing way more than what is needed for the construction work which the Lord has commanded us to perform. as I say, a remarkable problem. For these people who were there in the wilderness, they didn't have any mines that they could dig down into. God had provided for them, and though they could have held on to it, they released it because God had stirred in their hearts. God had stirred in their hearts this desire to be a part of something so mighty and so great. This was after the golden calf debacle. Here are these people. They wanted to be a part of worshiping the one true God. Verse 6. Moses, he issues a command. Now, we're getting into some pretty heavy language here. He issues a command to the people, and this command was proclaimed throughout the camp. It was posted, it was declared to the people, circulated among them. Let no man or woman any longer perform work for the contributions of the sanctuary. And the people were restrained. I have never seen this in my life, that there are ushers at the back and they've got the offering baskets behind them, and they're pushing people away. They're saying, get back, get back, stay away, don't you dare try to give anything more. The people were restrained. They were restrained from bringing any more. And verse 7, it's a remarkable verse, but it is declaring to us our God, His character, His tender care, His watchful eye, the detail of His plan in all things. For the material they had was sufficient and more than enough for all the work to perform it. Is our God unreasonable? Is He nasty? Is He mean-spirited? Is He full of spite? Does He want to make joke or jest of us? Does He want to mock us, that He would ask of us that which we do not have? No, not at all. God had prepared the way, and the people, they needed to faithfully walk in step with what God had prepared and what God was working out. This wasn't material that they needed to go and find. It was something that they already had. And what God, in His generosity, though it seemed that it was so much, this ark that was to be completely covered in gold and these various things that were to be covered in gold, it just seemed like so much that God was asking for. The people, they came to realize that God had prepared the way, God was leading them on, and that there was still more than enough left over. That boy that gave Jesus his lunch, I'm sure his eyes were as big as pie plates when, after that great multitude was fed, he was probably lugging home baskets full of bread with the story, look at what took place when I gave my lunch, as humble as it was, to Jesus. These people, they were walking a walk of faith. There's a song which says, I believe in miracles. I've seen a lily push its way up through the stubborn sod. I believe in miracles, for I believe in God. I do believe in miracles. I do believe that God is able to do that which is absolutely unexplainable in the human sphere. But here, I do not see that God worked a work of multiplication. He simply worked a work of people whose hearts were stirred that they might do what they had been called to do. How this touches upon your heart, how this touches upon how you live, I lay this before you, lest you ever come to the point to whomever you, wherever you give your money, and I realize there's lots of people here who are not a part of Faith Bible Church congregation, and how delighted we are to have you here. But hear this. Giving and the objection which the devil would want to stir in our hearts, that you've got to keep that. You've got to hold on to that. You're not going to have enough. Watch out that God does not trick you into doing something foolish. Hear the people as they did what God had commanded them, as they were obedient, and that is what generosity, that is what stewardship is. It is a heart matter. It is a stirring of the heart matter. Walk with God and see whether he will not be true to himself. My dad has over and over again had a saying, God will be no man's debtor. God will be no man's debtor. I assure you that I have proven that to be true. And others have as well. That whereas perhaps generosity has seemed a little bit over the top, God will be no man's debtor. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we come before your word, and we would receive not simply the blessing, but we would receive the rebuke. We would receive the challenge as well. And we give you thanks that your word speaks very pointedly to our hearts, sometimes with a very sharp edge. Oh God, I pray that we would be humble before you, and that we would look to your word, and that we would study it, and that we would examine it very carefully, taking to heart exactly what is said. I pray, O God, that you would, in fact, deal with each of us on this very matter. Lord, where perhaps I have missed the mark and have foolishly said things which ought not to have been said, I pray that that would be laid bare. I pray, O God, that to each of us, that we would have hearts that are stirred deep within, and that there would be, O God, to your work and to the glory of your name, an offering that is continually pleasing before you. You have blessed us. You have loved us with an everlasting love. O God, so work in us that we would be wise stewards, and as a part of that, that we would be generous givers. So work in all things, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.